Well, let's talk to Dr. David Ryder about it. He is a professor in entomology at NDSU, and he joins us now on KFGO. Dr. Ryder, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, and very happy to talk about the stink bug today, which is, it looks like Minnesota is going to take it seriously here after a few years of it being introduced, but what is it?
It's an insect. Just like its name sounds, they do have a distinct odor to them to ward off predators and would-be dangerous type things like that. So they're a type of insect that have sucking type mouth parts, so they don't actually chew into the leaves, but they poke the mouth parts into the plants and suck the juices out of the plant and cause damage that way.
Are they brown and black, or are those two different kinds?
Well, there's lots of different kinds of stink bugs, and there's brown ones and black ones. This particular one is brownish in color with some white mottling to it. That's where the marmorated comes from.
Oh, sure. So. Now, I understand from what I've learned is that it was introduced accidentally into the U.S. in 1998, came here from China or Japan?
Yes, from that area of the world, China, Japan, Korea, that area. And actually, it's been accidentally introduced in a number of different places around the world. It's spreading in Europe also and several different places, not just here in the U.S.
How long do they live? How many generations are there?
Oh, it probably depends on how long the growing season is and the warmth. Probably up here, they might be just one generation, maybe two. During a year, in warmer areas, they might have more generations than that per year.
Mm-hmm. And so they've been in the United States since 1998, but mostly like in the East Coast and maybe on the West Coast where they grow a lot of fruit and vegetables?
Yeah, these things, well, they can spread some on their own, but they probably are hitching a ride with humans. you know, these things like to get into this particular species, not only is it a pest species on plants and that, it also is a nuisance trying to get into people's homes to overwinter in that. And that type of behavior, it ends up in packing crates and mailing boxes and all kinds of stuff. And so it gets spread that way. And it was introduced into the eastern United States and spread naturally throughout most of the eastern United States. And then probably by hitching a ride with humans and that got established over in the West Coast, and it's spreading there also.
Wow, this is so frightening. So the bug was discovered in Minnesota and St. Paul, I guess, in 2010. Has it been discovered in North Dakota? I didn't see that anywhere.
We don't have any known populations in North Dakota. There was one found in a mailing box up in Grand Forks a few years back. And we actually had somebody working in our department that just moved here, 4 or 5 years ago into western Minnesota, just across the border. And she had brought a few with her, but we've been watching and haven't seen any more. So she moved here in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they made it through the winter. So as of right now, we don't know of any in North Dakota. We haven't really done a full-scale search for it. We've done general sampling. But this summer, another entomologist and myself, the other entomologist, Dr. Jan Knodel, we are actually in the process of perching some traps specifically made to attract these type of stink bugs and going to start really monitoring for them here in the eastern part of the state anyway.
Why are they called stink bugs?
Because when they're disturbed, they give off a little chemical. They've got a gland on the underneath side of the body that they squirt out a juice, which does have a bad smell to it, and birds and other types of animals don't like to eat things that smell that bad. So,
Minnesota has now, it looks like the state may give up about $250,000 for a 3-year program targeting the bugs. How do you target them? Do insecticides, or pesticides work on them?
Yeah, but that can be costly if you have to, in places where it's become established in a pest, I think they're having to increase the amount of pesticides they're using. So again, that cost then gets passed on to the consumer. Other ways to control them, a lot of these introduced pests, when they're accidentally brought over, in their natural native area, they don't usually become a pest because they have natural enemies there, small wasps and flies and things like that, that will keep them, mm-hmm. keep their population levels in control. When they get introduced over here, they oftentimes come over here without bringing all these natural enemies. And so there's nothing to hold their populations
wow.
down. One way we can try to control them is to go and look for these natural enemies and maybe import those here too to help control the populations.
Wow. What kind of damage do the stink bugs do to the environment besides eating crops? And I mean, what do they eat, about 300 different kinds of plants?
Well, this one particular kind does feed on a lot of different things. A lot of the species of stink bugs are more specific, that they'll only feed on a few species of plants. Some of them are economically important on crops, but a lot of them just feed on other plants that aren't seem too important. And just so the stink bugs don't get totally a bad rap, there is a group of them, about a third of the species are predatory, where they actually feed on other insects.
Oh.
And so there are some good species, what we consider good species of stink bugs too, because they help keep some of our pests down.
Did Minnesota wait too long? I mean, 2010 they came into St. Paul, or that's where they were discovered. Now, 4 years later, they're going to start a 3-year program targeting the bugs. Are they everywhere in Minnesota, or just maybe down south mostly?
From what I saw, they're mainly just around the Minneapolis area, and I think I saw something where they might have been found up around Duluth. They're not, I don't think they've got huge population levels yet, and they're not causing too much damage yet. So they're probably not starting too late.
Dr. Ryder, you have your own website, correct? Can you tell our listeners how to find it?
It's got a long address, which I don't know off the top of my head. If they would do just a Google search for Pentatomidae or Pentatomoidea, and my name, they'll find my website. Also, the NDSU, our department, entomology, has its own website, and I think the other professor that I work with on this, Jan Knodel, she's our extension entomologist, and so she's got a lot of information on the stink bugs on our university extension website.
Wonderful. I just Googled it. I don't think I spelled it right because I got a bunch of this is not right. Trust me. This is not right, but we'll track down a photo of you and we'll podcast this interview. Interesting conversation about the stink bug that is seen in Minnesota now.
I don't think we want to put a picture of him. I think we want to put a picture of the stink bug on there. Would that be okay with you, doctor?
That would suit me fine. Well, people might rather look at that than they would me. So,
Dr. David Ryder, professor entomology at NDSU. Thank you. I hope you don't mind. We'll save your phone number, doctor.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me on.